In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I do hope that you'll excuse my theological jargon. But what the heck is Jesus talking about in this morning's gospel? I mean, come on, Jesus. Are you losing it? Really? We're supposed to hate our family? We're supposed to hate ourselves? We're supposed to give it all up? Everything? Come on. I mean, really? Does that make any sense? Is Jesus losing it? Well, I guess before we try to get Jesus committed, we really need to understand and explore a bit the context, the background, what's going on in this morning's gospel. What's he really saying to us today? So, in our gospel, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, right? He's given it all up. His family thinks he's a little wacko, frankly. He knows what is likely waiting for him in Jerusalem. He knows how the Romans execute criminals. So he certainly realizes that it's likely he's going to end up being nailed to a cross. He has decided to give it all up. And we're told that there are large crowds following Jesus, right? And the last thing Jesus needs at this time of his life is fair weather friends. He wants to make sure that these people who are following him know what they're getting themselves into and are prepared to pay the price. Because he knows not only is it not going to end up well for him, it's probably not going to end up well for his disciples either, right? So that's why he's talking about, you know, making good decisions. He wants to make sure that these crowds are really all in. You got to make a decision. You're either all in or you might as well stay home, right? So that's kind of the context. And then we have the issue of the language, right? Well, first of all, Jesus is probably engaging in a bit of hyperbole. He's exaggerating a bit to underscore the importance, the import of what he is saying. And then there's the translation challenge, as always. The word hate that we see in our translation is probably not quite what Jesus had in mind. It was more like turn your back on, let go of, reject. Not really hate as we would use that word. There's a great translation in the Message Bible, Eugene Peterson's classic idiomatic translation that puts the gospel into contemporary language that fits with our current day understandings. And I think he did a very good job of expressing what Jesus was truly saying. And this is how he translates. He tells the crowd, anyone who comes to me but refuses to let go of father, mother, spouse, children, brothers, sisters, yes, even one's own self, can't be my disciple. Anyone who won't shoulder his own cross and follow behind me can't be my disciple. And then he goes on to give the rest of that passage, and I'm going to read it because, again, it puts it in slightly more understandable language, and frankly, I just love the way he ends this passage. So first he says, is there anyone here who, planning to build a new house, doesn't first sit down and figure the cost so you'll know if you can complete it? If you only get the foundation laid and then run out of money, you're going to look pretty foolish. Everyone passing by will poke fun at you. He started something he couldn't finish. Or, can you imagine a king going into battle against another king without first deciding whether it is possible with his 10,000 troops to face the 20,000 troops of the other? And if he decides he can't, won't he send an emissary and work out a truce? And here is the climax. Simply put, if you're not willing to take what is dearest to you, whether plans or people, and kiss it goodbye, you can't be my disciple. So, in a sense, our gospel is about the importance of making decisions. Decisions particularly about how, when, why we're willing and able to follow Jesus, to be disciples, followers of Jesus. And the fact that those decisions have real far-reaching consequences. For Jesus' followers, they were literally life or death consequences. Today, our decisions still have and can have very far-reaching consequences. 15 years ago, this very Sunday, I preached my final sermon as rector of St. Andrew's Episcopal Church in Madison, Connecticut, on this very gospel. And among other things, I talked about my difficult decision as to whether to stay or leave St. Andrew's after serving about 7 years as their rector. And why I had finally made the difficult decision to leave and go to be the rector in Pittsburgh of St. Paul's Episcopal Church, Mount Lebanon, a parish of some familiarity to us here. Well, I didn't know it at the time, of course, but if I had not made the decision to leave St. Andrew's, I would never have met, several years later, Michelle Boomgard. And if I hadn't met Michelle Boomgard, I wouldn't have, several years after that, married Michelle Boomgard, the Reverend Michelle Boomgard. And if I hadn't married Michelle, after I retired, I wouldn't have followed her as she has traveled in various places for her ministry. And I wouldn't have moved to Charleston, West Virginia. And I wouldn't, 15 years later, be standing in this very place this morning as your interim rector preaching on this same gospel. So yes, our decisions can have very far-reaching consequences. In my case, very good consequences, thanks be to God. We never know, right? It's part of the deal. We take a risk for Jesus. So, question perhaps for each of us, each of you, is what are the decisions that you need to make about Jesus? What, if anything, might be holding you back? What might you have to turn away from, give up, in order to follow Jesus in the way Jesus would have you follow him? may not surprise you to know that I've been doing a lot of thinking and praying about our rector search process, your rector search process. Right, Becky? Obviously praying that God will, sooner rather than later, send the right person to be your new rector, and praying and hoping that this parish will be fully prepared to welcome and to support the ministry of your new rector. Right? Well, just so happens we're about a month out from stewardship season, that time of the year where we ask all of our parishioners to make a financial commitment to the parish for the coming year, right? Now, it is, of course, the right thing to do. You know, we give back to God in grateful thanksgiving for all of God's blessings. But it's also an essential thing to do to make sure that your new rector, together with the vestry and you, will have the resources to do all those great things that you came up with in the parish profile, your hopes and dreams for the future of this place. And, you know, I'm sorry to have to tell you, but the $80,000 pledge for 2022 just isn't going to cut it, right? That's not enough to pay the salary of the new person, let alone carry out and expand the various ministries of this parish. So I'm going to ask you a month in advance to start thinking and praying. Is there something that might be holding you back from greater generosity for giving it up, so to speak, for Jesus? Yeah, I hope so. I hope many of you know about Fred Buechner. Fred Buechner, who died a couple of weeks ago at the ripe old age of 96, a great preacher, prolific spiritual writer, had a unique ability to express complicated, sophisticated theological propositions in down-to-earth, understandable language. And I thought, sort of as a tribute to Fred Buechner's life and ministry, that I would share with you something that he wrote that I think quite well sums up the point of this morning's gospel. And this is what Fred Buechner wrote, actually, back in 1994. It says, "The life you clutch, hoard, guard, and play safe with is in the end a life worth little to anybody, including yourself. And only a life given away for love's sake is a life worth giving, worth living. To bring this point home, God shows us a man who gave his life away to the extent of dying a national disgrace without a penny in the bank or a friend to his name. In terms of men's wisdom, he was a perfect fool. And anybody who thinks he can follow him without making something like the same kind of fool of himself is laboring not under a cross, but a delusion." Making decisions about following Jesus and then carrying those decisions out is not a simple, easy thing. It's difficult. It's challenging. And thanks be to God, we don't have to do it on our own, right? We have God to help us, to help transform us. As Jeremiah reminds us this morning, God is the potter and we are the clay. So our prayer is that God might mold us and change us, change our hearts, our lives, help us to give it up for Jesus. Amen.